ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ದೈವಾಸುರ ಸಂಪದ್ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ ಷೋಡಶೋಧ್ಯಾಯಃ. ದೈವೀ ಸಂಪದ್ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷಾಯ ನಿಬಂಧಾಯ ಸುರೀಮತಾ ಮಾಶು ಚ ಸಂಪದಂ ದೈವೀಂ ಅಭಿಜಾತೋಸಿ ಪಾಂಡವ. ಸೊ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಸೆಡ್, ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಚ್ಯೂಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಕಾನ್ಸ್ಟಿಟ್ಯೂಟ್ ದಿ ಡಿವೈನ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ದೋಸ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಕಾನ್ಸ್ಟಿಟ್ಯೂಟ್ ದಿ ಡೆಮನಿಕ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೆಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಡಿವೈನ್, the person who is born with divine wealth, having discussed about the person who is born with divine wealth, who is endowed with many virtues, in three verses, in one verse Bhagavan briefly said the person who is of demonic nature. Now the fifth verse Bhagavan says Daivi Sampat. So being endowed with these divine virtues contributes for the mental preparation, thereby contributes for the attainment of jnanam. Ultimately, it contributes for the accomplishment of the absolute end called moksha. Therefore, Daivi Sampat is for ultimately converting, making this life a meaningful, complete, absolutely successful life by accomplishing the moksha. Because one need not, cannot attain anything greater than moksha. There's no greater accomplishment than discovering the moksha. And that greatest accomplishment called moksha is possible for the person who is endowed with this Daivi Sampat. Where he says, Daivi Sampad Vimokshaya. Whereas, all those Asuri Sampad, the person of demonic nature, definitely demonic qualities, definitely cannot become mentally prepared for the attainment of jnanam, cannot have mental purification, cannot have mental stillness at all. Therefore, even if he is given to the discipline of Shravanam and Mananam, he cannot even grasp the teaching. Even if he grasps the teaching, he cannot definitely assimilate the teaching. There's no way of enjoying the benefit of jnanam in terms of moksha. Therefore, this person will continue to remain bound in samsara forever. So, asuri sampat nibandhaya. So, this demonic qualities and demonic nature, or wealth in terms of demonic nature, will only contribute for remaining in samsara forever, contributes for bondage. And having said that, Bhagavan says, Arjuna, may you not worry, ma shuchaha. Why? Because you are born with divine wealth. Daivim sampadam abhijataha asi. Hey Pandava, O Arjuna, you are born with divine wealth, means known as Daivi Sampat. You therefore may you not worry. That's what Bhagavan said in this 16th chapter, 5th verse. Okay, I'm moving on to the next verse. ದ್ವೌ ಭೂತ ಮಾರ್ಗೌ ಲೋಕೇಸ್ಮಿನ್ ದ್ವೌ ಭೂತ ಮಾರ್ಗೌ ಲೋಕೇಸ್ಮಿನ್. ಆಲ್ ಫಾಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ 6th ವರ್ಸ್. ದ್ವೌ ಭೂತ ಸರ್ಗೌ ಅಂಡ್ ಮಾರ್ಗೌ ದ್ವೌ ಭೂತ ಸರ್ಗೌ ಲೋಕೇಸ್ಮಿನ್ ದ್ವೌ ಭೂತ ಸರ್ಗೌ ಲೋಕೇಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಅಸ್ భూత సర్గౌ లోకేస్మిన్ దైవ ఆసురయేవ చ దైవో విస్తరశః ప్రోక్తః దైవో విస్తరశః ప్రోక్తః ఆసురం పార్థమే శృణు ఆసురం పార్థమే శృణు ద్వౌ భూత సర్గౌ లోకేస్మిన్ దైవ ఆసురయేవ చ దైవో విస్తరశః ప్రోక్తః ఆసురం పార్థమే శృణు ద్వౌ భూత సర్గౌ లోకేస్మిన్ దైవ ఆసురయేవ చ దైవో విస్తరశః ప్రోక్తః ఆసురం పార్థమే శృణు. ఇన్ ది సిక్స్త్ వర్స్ భగవాన్ సేస్, హావింగ్ పాసిఫైడ్ అర్జున, హావింగ్ టోల్డ్ హిమ్ రియల్ వర్డ్స్ విచ్ రియలీ మేక్ హిమ్ ఫీల్ గుడ్, దట్ అర్జున was born with the divine wealth, so he need not worry, which means there is for him there's a possibility of attaining moksha. Now in the seventh verse Bhagavan says, ద్వౌ భూత సర్గౌ, ద్వౌ భూత సర్గౌ లోకే అస్మిన్ దైవ ఆసుర ఏవచ. సి అస్మిన్ లోకే, అస్మిన్ లోకే, లోకేస్మిన్ ఇఫ్ యు టేక్ అస్మిన్ లోకే, ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ యు ఆల్ నో నో అస్మిన్ లోకే, ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ద్వౌ భూత సర్గౌ, భూత సర్గః సింగులర్, భూత సర్గౌ డ్యూయల్, ద్వౌ టు భూత సర్గః స్తః అస్మిన్ లోకే ద్వౌ భూత సర్గౌ స్తః మీన్స్ వాట్, దేర్ ఆర్ టూ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్స్, ద టూ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్స్, created beings, the two types of creation of beings are, there are two types of beings which have been created, the two types of beings are created. Bhuta sargaha, bhuta sargaha means creation of beings. Bhutanam, let me tell you, sargaha means creation. Bhutanam sargaha means bhutanam srishtihi. Sargaha is a masculine gender word which means creation. Sargaha, creation. Srishtihi, creation. Srishtihi is a strilinga shabdaha, feminine gender word. Sargaha is a masculine gender word. So bhutanam sargaha, bhuta sargaha, creation of beings. So bhuta sarga compound word. And how many creations of beings are there? There are two types of creation of beings. Means there are two types of created beings. Dvau bhuta sargau staha. In this world, there are two types of creations of beings. Creation of beings. Are there two types of created beings? Asmin loke dvau bhuta sargau staha. And what are those two types of created beings? Who are those beings? Yes. Daivaha asuraha evacha. Daivaha plus asuraha. Not asuraha, asuraha. Daivaha సర్గః, దైవః భూత సర్గః, దెన్ ఆసురః భూత సర్గః, దైవః asuraha. Whenever visarga precedes the long akaraha, then visarga becomes dropped. So daivaha bhutasargaha, asuraha bhutasargaha. There is a divine created being. There is creation of divine beings, and there is a creation of demonic beings, asuraha. There's a creation of divine beings, there's a creation of demonic beings. Daivaha asuraha. Iti dau bhuta sargau asmin loke staha. The created beings are of two types. One type of created beings comes under the category of daivaha. Another type of created beings comes under the category of asuraha. Daivaha asuraha evacha. Then daivaha vistarashaha proktaha. Daivaha means the divine has been proktaha, has been said. How? Vistarashaha, elaborately. The creation, so the first type of created beings, one type of created beings in terms of daivam, in terms of daivam or divine creation of beings has been said elaborately, has been presented elaborately. Shunu asuram. No, asuram me partha shunu. He shunu partha. O Arjuna, shunu. May you listen. May from me. May you listen from me. What? Asuram. See, more about the asuric, more about the creation, more about another type of created beings in terms of people of asuric nature. Okay, asuram. Asuram shrunu. Sometimes better to use Sanskrit words instead of using English words. Okay. So what Krishna says, see, there are two types of created beings in this world, in terms of daivam and daivaha and asuraha. And daivaha bhuta sargaha, daivaha bhuta sargaha, the creation of beings of discipline, divine creation of the people of divine nature, or daivaha, has been discussed elaborately. Arjuna, now may you hear from me, shunu me, more about the asuri, asuraha. Okay, more about the beings, the created beings of asuric nature. So what does Bhagavan say here? See, Bhagavan now does not see whether a person is an American or Indian, Hindu or Christian or Muslim. No. Bhagavan just sees this entire world of human beings. Bhagavan looks at this entire humanity as humanity of two types of people. The humanity itself is of two types of people. Which means all human beings can be divided into two groups. They come under the category of two groups. one group of people come under the category of Daivaha Bhuta Sargaha. Another group of people come under the category of Asuraha Bhuta Sargaha. How this division is made? This division of human beings as people of Asuric nature, as people of divine nature, this division is based on their inclinations, based on their interests, based on their behavior, based on their values and tendencies. This division of human beings into two groups as people of divine nature, as people of demonic nature, is based on their tendencies and values. So he says, Asmin loke dvau bhuta sargaustaha. There are two types of creation of human beings. And one is Daivaha, means people who come under the category of people of divine nature. And Asuraha, there's another group of people of demonic nature. So people of divine nature means people who are spiritually inclined, who are committed to the spiritual pursuit. Whereas people of demonic nature are the people who, for whom material prosperity becomes the ultimate goal. So people of highly materialistic society and people who are highly inclined for spiritual wealth are divided into two groups as Asuraha Bhuta Sargaha and Daivaha Bhuta Sargaha. Even some people who are initially highly materialistic, in a sense they're very much given to the pursuit of only artha kamas, they're not at all interested in spirituality, but gradually somehow in life, because of samskara, gradually they become attracted towards spirituality. They make friends with people who are spiritually inclined, and they happen to read the books revealing spiritual truths or spiritual matters. Somehow they become attracted towards such things because of sampunyam. And how they become attracted towards, how suddenly or gradually they become spiritually inclined. Sometimes people may not know their own reasons. Therefore, it's because of some punyam. It is very beautifully said in another Upanishad called Kathopanishad. Shreyaha and Preyaha. When Veda Shastram talks about Shreyas and Preyas. Of course, Preyas also is an end. Shreyas also is an end. Nothing wrong in pursuing Preyas or Shreyas. But Preyas is on relative end and Shreyas is the ultimate end. But people for whom praise alone becomes the ultimate end, and they become people whose tendencies and inclinations are very much associated with materialistic pursuits. And people for whom Shreyas becomes the ultimate goal, they become naturally people of divine wealth. Therefore, dvau bhutasargau staha, of those both, of both these two types of created beings, one type of created beings who are blessed with divine wealth, they were elaborately discussed. In three verses, we saw three verses discussed, Bhagavan discussed in three verses, first three verses, only the wealth of a person, only the divine wealth of a person. Now the Bhagavan says, Arjuna, now you listen to me. Listen from me. More about the demonic nature, the people of demonic nature. What makes a person as the one endowed with the demonic wealth? Let us move on to the next verse. So Bhagavan introducing the demonic nature as the wealth of people of materialistic ends. Now Bhagavan is going to elaborately discuss that Asuri Sampat. Pravruttim cha nivruttim cha jana pravruttim cha nivruttim cha janana vidurasurah pravruttim cha nivruttim cha janana vidurasurah na shaucham napi chacharah na shaucham napi chacharah na satyam teshu vidyate pravruttim cha nivruttim cha janana vidurasurah na shaucham napi chacharah na satyam teshu vidyate pravruttim cha nivruttim cha janana vidurasurah na shaucham napi chacharah na satyam teshu vidyate pravruttim cha nivruttim cha janana vidurasurah pravruttim cha nivruttim cha janana vidurasurah na shaucham napi chacharah na shaucham napi chacharah na satyam teshu vidyate pravruttim cha pravruttim cha pravruttim cha nivruttim cha nivruttim cha na jana janaha na janana viduhu asuraha vidurasuraha na shaucham na shaucham na api na shaucham na api cha acharaha cha acharaha chacharaha acharaha na acharo na satyam teshu vidyate pravruttim cha nivruttim cha janana vidurasurah na shaucham na api chacharah na satyam teshu vidyate na shaucham teshu vidyate na satyam teshu vidyate na shaucham na shaucham napi chacharah na satyam teshu vidyate. So here Bhagavan says pravruttihi nivruttihi pravruttim nivruttim, both words are feminine gender words and both an objective case. Asuraha janaha na viduhu. what Bhagavan says here, Asuraha Janaha means what? People of demonic nature, demonic tendencies. Asuraha Janaha Na Viduhu do not know. Viduhu no. Na Viduhu do not know. So people of demonic nature do not understand, do not know. What they do not know? Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha. See, pravrittihi, it means activity. Nivrittihi means retirement. Literal meaning, okay? But here, what the activities which must be done, which should be done, come under the category of pravrittihi. Activities which should not be done come under the category of nivrittihi. In this context, the word pravrittihi, nivrittihi literally means praise and shreyas, performance and retirement. But here pravrittihi means actions which are to be done. Nivrittihi means actions which should not be done. Nivrittihi. So the people of demonic nature do not know what should be done, what should not be done. What must be done, what must not be done, they do not know. Asuraha janaha pravrittim na viduhu cha nivrittim na viduhu. They do not know what should be done and what should not be done. Teshu means in them. Literally, it means in them. Literally, in them. Teshu na vidyate. It is not there. It is not there in them means it is not on their part. What is not on that part? They do not have. It is not in them means they do not have. What they do not have? Na shaucham. Shaucham means purity, cleanliness. Shaucham, they do not have internal purity. They do not have purity. Na apicha acharaha. Acharaha here means, acharaha means conduct, but here acharaha means religious discipline. So that they do not, there is no purity, there is no religious discipline on their part. Which means they do not have purity, nor do they have any religious discipline. Teshu. In Tamil, we say, avargalidathil idivellam illai. Which means they do not have. So there's no purity. There's no internal purification. There's purity. There's no religious discipline. Na shaucham. Na cha acharaha. Na satyam. There is no truthfulness. Teshu vidyate. Teshu satyam na vidyate. Acharaha na vidyate, shaucham na vidyate, na api shaucham vidyate, na shaucham na cha acharaha na satyam teshu vidyate. There is no truthfulness in their speech. There is no religious discipline. There is no purity on their part. Means they do not have any of these disciplines. Okay. Because they do not know what should be done, what should not be done. This is the literal meaning of the verse number 7. Asuraha janaha pravrittim na viduhu. Asuraha janaha nivrittim cha na viduhu. Teshu asureshu janeshu satyam na vidyate. Na vidyate means nasti. Tasatyam nasti. Acharaha nasti. Na apicha acharaha. Vidyate. Na shaucham vidyate. Na shaucham vidyate means what? Shaucham teshu shaucham na vidyate. Teshu acharaha api na vidyate. Teshu satyam na vidyate. Means they do not have religious discipline, they do not have purity, they do not have any truthfulness also in their speech. Okay. So, what Bhagavan says here in this verse, no human being is, very rarely a human being is born as a highly evolved person. One in a million, one in a trillion or billion, I don't know. Bhagavan says, generally, all human beings are all human beings. The entire humanity is born ignorant. And being born ignorant, all human beings are naturally highly materialistic in their behavior, in their character. How? When we are very young, all of us are Shudras only. Shudras means all of us are highly materialistic in character. And no human being has a knowledge of moksha when a person is very young. It's a 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old. There's no knowledge of the ultimate. There's something called ultimate goal. One has to accomplish. That goal is moksha. And that moksha is something to be discovered, not to be attained. And there is a jnanam. It is knowledge of the self, is knowledge of moksha. All this, who knows? No human being has this understanding. We're all raw-headed. We have no clue of what jnanam is, moksha is, etc. when we're very young. Therefore, there's also no understanding of even dharma. Because dharma is something very subtle. Living a life of values means something very subtle. It is not something gross and tangible which can be perceived through our sense organs. We have no clue about dharma also. See, what Vedanta, what Shastram discusses finally in terms of dharma, what Shastram presents the teaching, presents as the teaching of dharma, teaching of jnana, moksha, etc. completely, you know, are not something perceptible for us. Which we cannot ourselves arrive at those dharma and moksha, etc. That is why this pursuit of dharma and pursuit of moksha, so being given to the pursuit of dharma and being given to the pursuit of jnanam, moksha in terms of jnanam, are said to be apaurusheya purushartau. Apaurusheya, apaurusheya purushartau. Moksha is an apaurusheya purushartaha. Dharma also is an apaurusheya purushartaha. Why? Because a human being, a purusha, cannot himself make out the purushartas and pursue them. Because they are not something available for objectification through perception. Even science does not have a clue about moksha and dharma. No physics knowledge can help us understand really the dharma and moksha. If science could have helped us to understand goals being dharma and moksha, science can only say, yes, there is an order which Shastram talks about. But science does not, cannot teach that our lives must be in conformity with that order. If science could have taught, then already then dharma, moksha would have become paurusheya purusharthas. Because science does not teach us, it, even these goals are not available for even scientific discoveries. They are known as apaurusheya purushartau. Therefore, naturally, a human being has, like any other living being, like any other animal, human being also as an animal, okay, human being also as one of the mammals, beings, human being also has got two goals in terms of artha and kamaha. So, human being is naturally given to the pursuit of artha, pursuit of security in terms of artha. So, whatever helps a human being to feel secure, the person pursues, that is artha. It can be money, it can be position, possession, marriage, family, etc. So, whatever makes a person feel secure, a human being pursues for his security, is pursuit, becomes pursuit of artha. Then whatever helps human being to have a change in his monotonous life, that be to have some deviation and pleasure, that becomes pursuit of kamaha. So human being naturally has these two pursuits, which are paurusheya purusharthu, like any other animal. Any animal seeks security. Any animal seeks in a limited sense, animal also seeks security, such as for food, such as wants to live, survive. An animal also has certain inclination for pleasures, simple pleasures. So, artha kama are the only natural pursuits of a human being. Having artha kama as the pursuits, a human being born ignorant, helplessly, not having a clue about one's jnanam, etc., and having these two pursuits, have been naturally inclined for pursuing artha kamas, human being choicelessly has what? Many ragadveshas, likes and dislikes. Everything is natural. There's nothing, Shastram does now, we are not trying to blame us or condemn us or to make us feel guilty. Shastram helps us to understand what is the natural problem we have. So, we naturally we're naturally inclined for artha kamas. So thereby, helplessly, we also have our own ragadveshas. So raga is passion for things, liking for things. And dvesha is this, in fact, aversion towards objects, things, dislike. Passion and aversion. It's not dispassion. Passion and aversion. Likes and dislikes. So, all our activities, our life is filled with activities governed by our own personal likes and dislikes. Ragadveshas. So, ragadveshas are our natural instinctives. So instinctive ragadveshas. So our life is full of activities governed by our instinctive likes and dislikes. Instinctive ragadveshas. And this, our activities governed by likes and dislikes, or our interest in our activities also is based on our own commitment to the pursuit of artha kamas. Therefore, what does Shastram say? Veda Shastram accepts our natural problem. See, this problem, we have not created this. we are naturally born with ignorance. So naturally we are ignorant of Purusharthas, we're ignorant of Artha Dharmaka, Dharma Mokshas, and naturally being inclined for the pursuit of Artha Kamas, we are helplessly, our activities become governed by Ragadveshas. Our Shastram does not blame or find fault with us. Shastram only says, it is not wrong to have a life of activities governed by our likes and dislikes. Which means the life which is based on our personal whims and fancies is not wrong. It is appropriate. But how long? Only as long as we remain young. Initial stage of life, Shastram allows, Shastram sanctions us that we can have our life governed by the activity, have life of activities governed by likes and dislikes. But one can't afford to be continuously ignorant throughout. A stage must come, definitely, when a person must have the discriminative understanding. The person must be able to think, and he himself must make efforts. He must make his own initiative to convert his life of activities governed by Ragadveshas into a life of activities governed by Dharma. A person must definitely learn to make efforts to convert one's life of activities governed by one's own personal likes and dislikes into a life of activities governed by Dharma. A value system must be understood. Which means, my activities governed by my own personal whims and fancies must gradually become governed by my understanding of Dharma. My understanding of right and wrong. And this is what this Shastram teaches. Shastram initially prescribes the way of life. Shastram teaches the way of life that our activities are inevitable, unavoidable. We cannot physically give up. We should not physically give up our activities. But definitely all our activities, which are expressions of our natural desires, must be governed by our knowledge of right and wrong. Must be governed by Dharma. Because why we do not do this? Why Shastram has to teach us? Because we ourselves do not have any clue. We do not know the importance and the necessity of pursuing the spiritual ends. When we are born, we are physically incapable and young. Emotionally also, we are very immature. Intellectually also, we are not adequately sharp. So when we are born and when we are growing, when we grow also, as we are growing old, still we continue to be immature, emotionally immature, physically young, intellectually also not sharp enough. Therefore, we ourselves cannot know the necessity and importance of pursuing spiritual ends. Therefore, Shastram comes into the picture. That is why we say Shastram. I explained the meaning of the word Shastram long, long ago. Shasanat Trayate iti Shastram. Shasti Trayate iti Shastram. That which protects us by governing our way of life is Shastram. Suppose any of in the class, if you say, oh, I knew when I was 10-year-old, 5-year-old, I knew that my ultimate goal in life is moksha. Suppose if any of you knew, that is good. Okay, but I'm saying, generally Shastram says it is not possible for us to understand. So here, it is said, we're too immature to understand that our spiritual goals. Therefore, Shastram guides us and teaches us that there are goals, two other goals in terms of dharma and moksha. And only by being given to the pursuit of those goals, by accomplishing those goals, our life becomes complete and meaningful. So I taught long, long ago one verse. Janmana Jayate Shudraha. By birth, we're all Shudras. We do not know what is right and what is wrong. Like no child can understand what is right and what is wrong. But when a child is initiated into the study of the scripture, the Gayatri Mantra, the child is given the Upanayanam, Yajnapurita Karma is done, then onward the child becomes old enough to understand what elders teach. Do this, don't do that. And parents or elders say, the child must be able to understand what the parents are talking to the child. Only that age, the child is said to be a mature child. The immature child is a Shudraha. The immature child is the one who does not know himself or herself what is right and what is wrong. So who cannot even understand even if elders teach. That age is what? The children of such age are said to be Shudras. And when the child becomes slightly older, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, then when the child is able to listen to what parents and elders are saying, and accordingly when the child is able to understand what is it and what is wrong, based on the instructions of the teachers and elders, then the child is said to be a mature child. The totally immature, raw-headed child becomes a mature individual slightly. But even then, the child does not know why I should do only the right thing, why I should not do the wrong thing, why should I refrain from the wrong thing. The child does not know. Therefore, if the child is mature enough to do the right, to avoid the wrong, in keeping with elders' instructions. But when a child himself or herself being exposed to Shastra study, when the person understands the value of dharma, and knowing the value of dharma, when the child does the right, refrains from the wrong, knowing why I should do the right, why I should not do the wrong, then the child is said to be more mature. The individual being is said to be a more mature individual. Veda Pathena Vipraha. Only exposure to the teaching helps the person understand why I should follow dharma. Means the child follows dharma, the person, individual being follows dharma, knowing the value of dharma, he is a more mature person. And by following dharma, when a person attains jnanam, becomes mature, and as a jnani, the person becomes the most mature. Then a person cannot become more mature than a jnani. The most mature person is the jnani, wise person, who has discovered the reality. Brahma Vedanat Brahmanaha. The Brahmana is the one who has discovered Brahman, obtaining as one's own self. Thereby, such a person is said to be the most mature person. But to become the most mature, to discover the truth, one must become mentally ready, and for which one must live a life of dharma, knowing the value of dharma. And who is said to be more mature person is a vipraha. And a person at least not knowing the value of dharma also, if a person at least follows dharma, then he is called mature person. A person who follows dharma is mature person. A person who follows dharma, knowing the value of dharma, is a more mature person. As a result of following dharma with knowledge of values, when a person attains jnanam, he is the most mature person. And one who does not follow dharma is the immature person. And who does not follow the dharma? One who does not know there is a pursuit of dharma. Isn't it? So any child is allowed to sanction to be a shudraha. He is called a shudraha, which we already see. Therefore, why I'm going out, don't think I'm going out of the track. Okay? I bring you back to the class. Therefore, Shastram emphasizes, Shastram emphatically says that we do not know what is actually good for us, what is actually not good for us. We do not know. Therefore, Shastram, like how mothers decide for children, sometimes, you know, people may not accept, but mothers decide for children when they're very young. Mothers decide for children, parents decide for children what is good for the child. Similarly, Shruti Mata decides for us what is good for us. And Shruti Mata says, absolutely, what is good for you is Shreyas, that is, accomplishment of self-knowledge is the best for you. And in order to accomplish that self-knowledge, because that is where the happiness is, that is where your peace of mind is, unless and until you discover your self-sarupam, come on, forget about it, you can never be absolutely peaceful and happy. You may have some arriving, departing pleasures, but definitely not happiness and absolute peace of mind. Therefore, and for that, to prepare your mind for that knowledge, you have no choice. You have to become mentally subtle. You can become subtle means you can become mentally pure and steady only if you consciously live a life of dharma. So Shastram also teaches the pursuit of dharma. Not only to prepare your mind, you all can also earn abundance of punyam, which will get translated into experience of pleasures. To avoid pain in life, live a life of dharma. To prepare your mind for jnanam, you live a life of dharma. And by attaining jnanam, you discover what you're searching for in your life. And this is what Shastram teaches us. And Shastram also says that doing what is right and appropriate, doing right and appropriate will produce punyam. And doing the right is, in fact, vidhihi. Okay? Doing the right is called vidhihi because it right thing must be done by us. So ordained, vidhihi means a rule, compulsory. To prepare our, what is good for us is, doing the right is good, therefore it is vidhihi. And doing the wrong is not good for us. It should be prohibited. Therefore, wrong is said to be nishedaha. Vidhi nishedau. Vidhihi means the good, what should be done. And nishedaha means what should be avoided. What is not good for me? So, what is not good for me? What is not good for me is inappropriate action, is said to be nishedaha. So, vidhihi means that which should be done. Nishedaha means that which should be avoided. And here, Shastram instructs that our personal likes and dislikes, a life of activities governed by our personal likes and dislikes must be converted into the activities governed by our knowledge of vidhi nishedha, dharma adharma jnanam. So one must live one's life based on vidhi nishedha. What should be the knowledge of what should be done, what should be avoided. And this is how a human being's life can be transformed from being a totally materialistic person into a person of spiritual goals. And this conversion of one's life from being a person of materialistic ends into a person of spiritual goal is taken to be the maturity of a person. Thereby, it is taken to be the transformation of a person. Therefore, it is taken to be the second birth of a human being. Only when a person converts his life, having the material ends as the ultimate goal, into a life having the spiritual goals, then this conversion of the human being is taken to a second birth. Then he is called Dvijaha. That implies maturity. When a person is only a person of material goals, he is an immature individual. When a person converts his life into a life lived for accomplishing spiritual goals, he is looked upon as a mature individual. That is why that maturity on the part of the person is taken to be the second birth of a person. So uncivilized, uncultured, unrefined person gradually becomes relatively more refined person. Okay, and this refinement which happens on the part of a person is symbolically shown through the performance of a ritual of Upanayanam or Yajnopavita Karma. Okay, therefore, don't think I've gone out of the track. I remember all these things. So Bhagavan says, who are the Asuraha? All immature human beings whose goals are only material goals, only arthakamas, who do not know that there are goals like dharma and moksha, who are not, okay, thereby whose lives are governed only by their own personal likes and dislikes. They are said to be Asuraha Janaha. So they do not know. Asuraha Janaha Na Viduhu. In people who have the material goals, Artha Kamas as their goals, thereby whose actions are governed by their personal likes and dislikes, do not know anything about spirituality. They do not know how to learn also. So they may be academically highly qualified people. They might have studied, they must have got even many degrees in their academic education. So academically highly accomplished people also spiritually may be illiterate people. Therefore, this change on the part of a human being, converting one's life from having mere material goals into life having the spiritual goals, this conversion does not happen naturally. Therefore, Shastra teaching is important. And they do not know what Krishna says. Pravrittim na viduhu, nivrittim cha na viduhu. They do not know what should be done. They do not know what should be avoided, what should not be done. Because Shastram says what should be done, what should not be done. If they follow this life enjoined by the Shastram, then they will know. Therefore, here Asuraha Janaha means don't think only they are all Asuraha Janaha. All of us are Asuraha when we are born. Okay? All human beings are Asuraha when we are born. So now the conversion must happen in one's life. Then we can become the people of Daivi Sampat. We're all born Asuraha. Not knowing. They do not know pravritti, they do not know nivritti. What should be done choicelessly? What should be avoided choicelessly? They do not know. And there are spiritual goals and what is good for ultimately for my spiritual development. They do not know anything. Therefore, what happens? There is no shaucham on their part. There is no purity on their part. When the actions are governed by likes and dislikes, naturally, they will not follow any values. There won't be internal purity. Na shaucham. Na cha acharaha. There is no achara. Na satyam teshu vidyate. They do not even see the value of truthfulness in speech. All these are not possible. Because artha kamas alone become the ultimate goals. If people do not know dharma moksha at all, then there's no way of handling one's emotions, desires, likes and dislikes. The likes and dislikes will take this person for a ride. They will drive him mad, that they will go against dharma. That is why there is no acharaha, there is no conduct, there is no proper behavior, there is no shaucham, there is no even satyam in the part of that person. Okay, so acharaha means following all the disciplines in life. Right from early to bed, early to rise. Okay, this is a basic achara. Like this, we have many acharas. Okay, all these, why people are not able to follow the achara? Because they do not know the value of achara. Okay, all this. And there is first getting up early, then having a shower first, then praying to Bhagavan, lighting the lamp, only then having a cup of coffee. All these things become what? Only when you know the value of all of them. Even though following these disciplines themselves is not the ultimate goal, but how it becomes important for us to become a disciplined minded person, all our habits also must change. So, there's no acharaha, na satyam teshu vidyate. Means, naturally they do not know the value of the truthfulness. And just for the sake of getting their likes and dislikes fulfilled, and they don't mind going against dharma, so naturally they may not speak the truth always. So, they do not know the value of values. These people who have artha kamas as their goals, and do not know anything about dharma and moksha, and being driven by their own likes and dislikes, they cannot see the value of values also. Therefore, it is difficult for them to follow values in life. Okay, next verse. Asatyam pratishthante jagadahuranishwaram. Asatyam pratishthante jagadahuranishwaram. Aparasparasambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. Asatyam pratishthante jagadahuranishwaram. Asatyam pratishthante jagadahuranishwaram. Aparasparasambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. Asatyam pratishthante jagadahuranishwaram. Aparasparasambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. See, I wanted to see the beauty of the teaching. Bhagavan does not say that all these people of asuric nature have these problems. Means Bhagavan does not say they're all bad, wrong and all. Helplessly, these people are of demonic nature because they do not have, they do not know that arthakamas, the dharma mokshas are the ultimate goals, and they mistake the arthakamas as the ultimate goals. They do not know. Simple people, and not knowing the value of dharma, being ignorant and not helplessly having their own likes and dislikes and chased by their own dislikes and dislikes, when they do their actions just to fulfill their likes and dislikes, helplessly they do wrong things. Okay. See, without blaming, finding fault with the human beings, without contributing for one's added guilt, Bhagavan helps you resolve your guilt also. Do you see that now? Do you see that? Isn't it a wonderful teaching? Do you see it or not? So why we go against dharma? Why we do? It's all purely because our purusharthan nischaya is not there. So watch in this verse, Bhagavan says, purusharthan nischaya is not there. There's no definite understanding of what my goals are in life. Because we are ignorant. So how exposure to the shastram helps a person understand one's goals? That's how a person's life becomes changed. So becoming spiritual from being materialistic does not mean giving up, depriving oneself of the enjoyment of pleasures in life. Okay? It's a wrong thing. People think wearing saffron robes or going away somewhere and sitting in some ashrams makes a person. No, it is not in externally changing anything. Converting one's life into, from being a material life into a spiritual life, is nothing but understanding the goals and becoming committed to the pursuit, and thereby learning to manage our likes and dislikes. That is how you become a refined person, cultured, civilized person. An uncultured brute can become a civilized person. That's why our Shastram shows how Valmiki was. A rogue, thief. But he became a highly refined person of wisdom whose contribution came in the form of Ramayana. We have so many Mahatmas like that. This is the big difference between other cultures and our culture. Okay. You were not made to accumulate guilt. You were helped to free yourself from the guilt, and you're also helped to overcome. You're helped to grow. You're helped to contribute. Okay. అసత్యమ ప్రతిష్టం తే జగదాహురనీశ్వరం అపరస్పర సంభూతం కిమన్యత్ కామహైతుకం. సో హి సేస్ అసత్యం అప్రతిష్టం తే జగత్ ఆహు అనీశ్వరం అపరస్పర సంభూతం కిమన్యత్ కామహైతుకం. సి ఆహు ఇస్ ద వర్బ్. ఆహు మీన్స్ సే. హు సే వాట్ ఇస్ వాట్స్ వాట్ ఇస్ సెడ్? తే ఆహు. తే ఆహు మీన్స్ దోస్ పీపుల్ సే. తే థర్డ్ పర్సన్ ప్లూరల్ ది ప్రోనౌన్. తే తే ఇన్ సంస్కృతం ఇన్ ఇంగ్లీష్ ఇస్ దోస్ పీపుల్. దోస్ పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ ఆసరిక్ నేచర్ ఫర్ ఇన్నస్ నైవ్ పీపుల్ ఇమ్మెచ్యూర్ పీపుల్ దే సే తే ఆహు. దోస్ ఇమ్మెచ్యూర్ పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ ఆసరిక్ నేచర్ సే జగత్. దిస్ జగత్ ఈస్ వాట్ అసత్యం జగత్. దే సే జగత్ ఈస్ ద వర్ల్డ్ ఈస్ డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్. అసత్యం జగత్ ద వర్ల్డ్ ఈస్ డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్. అప్రతిష్టం దే సే ద వర్ల్డ్ ఈస్ అప్రతిష్టం. ద వర్ల్డ్ ఈస్ డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ ధర్మ. ప్రతిష్టం means the world is of dharma. The jagat apratishtam jagat, the world is devoid of dharma. Then they say anishwaram jagat. They say the world is devoid of bhagavan ishwara. So those people say the world is devoid of truth, the world is devoid of dharma, the world is devoid of bhagavan ishwara. జగత్ అసత్యం జగత్ అప్రతిష్టం జగత్ అనీశ్వరం జగత్ ఇటి తస్ తే ఆహు. దోస్ పీపుల్ సే జగత్ ఈస్ జగత్ అసత్యం జగత్ అప్రతిష్టం జగత్ అనీశ్వరం. దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఈస్ డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్ ధర్మ అండ్ ఈశ్వర. దెన్ అపరస్పర సంభూతం. అపరస్పర సంభూతం అపరహ పర సంభూతం అపరహ పర అపరస్పర అపరస్పర సంభూతం మీన్స్ అపరహ మీన్స్ అదర్ పర్సన్ దట్ ఇస్ అ మేల్. అపరహ విమెన్ ఉమెన్ పరహ స్టాండ్స్ ఫర్ మేల్ పర్సన్. సో సంభూతం మీన్స్ వాట్? దిస్ జగత్ ఈస్ అ ప్రోడక్ట్. ద జగత్ సంభూతం మీన్స్ ద జగత్ ఈస్ బోర్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఆఫ్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్. వాట్ ఈస్ వరల్డ్ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్స్? దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఆఫ్ బీయింగ్స్ ఈస్ నథింగ్ బట్ బోర్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ది యూనియన్ ఆఫ్ అపరహ అండ్ పరహ. ద యూనియన్ ఆఫ్ male and female beings. This world of beings is nothing but something born out of the union of male and female beings. Aparaspara sambhutam. Aparaspara sambhutam jagat. And therefore, what do they say? Kama haitukam anyate kim asti. Kama haitukam. Kama haituka means kama is the hetu for this world. This world has come into existence as a result of desire. Kamaha hetuhu yasya jagataha. That jagat is called kama haitukam jagat, which means this world has desire as the cause to come into existence. The world has desire as the cause to come into existence. Kama haitukam jagat, which means the world is caused by desire. The world is caused by, what caused the world? What brought the world into existence is the desire. The word he says, Kamahaitukam Jagat, this Jagat is caused by desire. Apart from this, Kim Anyat, what else is this world? This is their perception of the world. Okay, let me tell you again. Te ahuhu, those people, those immature people who have arthakamas as their ultimate goals, who are ignorant of dharma and moksha, who do not know the Vedic way of life, who do not know what is and what is wrong, what should be done, what should not be done. Such people of demonic nature, they say, te ahuhu, they say, this world is devoid of truth, this world is devoid of dharma, this world is anishwaram, there's no God, there's no dharma, there's no truth in this world, and this world is nothing but a product of union of male female members. And this world is caused by desire. The world has desire as the cause to be here. Therefore, what else is this world? What else is this Jagat? What else is this universe? Kim Anyate? Okay. This is the literal meaning of this verse. Asatyam apratishtham te Jagadahuranishwaram aparasparasambhotam aparaha aparasya parena sambhotam or aparas aparaha parasambhotam aparasparasambhotam aparasparasambhotam kimanyat kamahaitukam. So Bhagavan now again continues to talk about people of demonic nature. How are these? Who are these? How are these? Asuris janaha, asuris sampatantaha, asuraha. Janaha, he says, they do not have any clue of religious disciplines. They do not believe in Bhagavan. So they are not even religious. Of course, they are not spiritual. See, non-spiritual people may be religious at least. But these people, not even they are religious. They cannot be spiritual because they do not know other two ends. And having arthakamas as the ultimate goals, they were not even religious. They're not spiritual, they're not even religious. And they're not even ethical. They're neither spiritual, of course they're not spiritual. They're not religious, nor are they ethical. Non-religious, non-ethical, non-spiritual, only highly materialistic people. So they cannot believe anything pertaining to religious life. They cannot understand anything pertaining to spiritual life. So religious disciplines, spiritual goal, etc., instructed by the Shastram, they do not know anything. So they do not even accept the Shastram as the Pramanam. They do not the value of the Shastram. And for them, when they say Asatyam, Jagat is Asatyam, Jagat means they do not accept Veda Shastram as the Pramanam. There's no Shastram, there's no Jagat, there's no Satyam. See, or to accept the Veda Shastram as the Pramanam, they must know the value of the Shastram. So if Shastra Pramanam, if people can't accept the Shastram as the Pramanam, naturally they cannot even understand the value of Dharma, or the way of Vedic way of life governed by Dharma. Also, they can't accept. They can't even believe. So they cannot appreciate the universal, natural, moral, ethical law and order of the cosmos. And our Veda Shastram, as drums, the Veda Shastram always declares. Okay, there's a Veda Dindima. Like Vedanta Dindima, there's a Veda Dindima. Veda always declares this fact aloud. How? It is Dharma. It is the universal, natural, moral, law and order alone upholds Dharma, upholds the creation, sustains the creation, protects the creation. It is the universal, natural, moral, ethical law and order alone sustains the whole creation. So Veda declares this fact. So dharmaha rakshati. So dharmaha means why dharmaha? Dharma is said to be the sustainer of the universe because dharma is derived from the root dharati dharayati. Dharati dharayati. Dharanat dharma iti uchyate. Dhriyate anena iti dharma. It is the universal, natural, moral law and order which alone sustains the world. So if there is no morality, if there is no morality strictly followed in the society, then there will be social disorder. There will be confusion. There will be confusion and pain caused by this social disorder. If there's no morality, then such a society where morality is not there will perish soon. It will not survive. In first chapter, Arjuna also talked about it. Even though he was confused, at least for dharma part of whatever he said about dharma was correct. Even though it was wrong context. But still, that is true. So all our Veda Shastram and all the textbooks which are based on Veda Shastram emphasize dharmas. Whereas these people of Asuric nature do not accept the Shastram, therefore they do not believe in this order. They do not believe in this Dharma. Why? Because Dharma is very subtle, intangible. It is not something which is available for our understanding and perception. And those people are too gross. The people of materialistic ends are very gross. They're unrefined minded. Therefore, all that they can accept is only the physical order of the universe. So people of unrefined gross minds can only accept and believe the physical order of the universe. Because physical order of the universe is something which can be proved. Because available for scientific reasoning, physical order of the universe is available for scientific research and scientific reasoning. It can be proved. Therefore, such people of gross and unrefined minds can accept only this physical order, which is provable scientifically. So if anything said in the, if science says, they can accept. So if the laws taught in physics are laws taught, no, any other laws taught by science, they can accept. Because they're proved. Whereas, dharma and adharma, what happens if followed? What happens if not followed? Also the translations of right and wrong actions into the experience of pain and pleasure as punyam and paapam, etc. Science cannot prove. So non-provable by science is not acceptable for these people, because they're not refined enough to accept it. Therefore, satyam nasti means there is no such a thing called Veda Shastram, which is the pramanam, the dharmaha. So for them, there is no dharma, there's no shastram, there's no order. And therefore, where is Bhagavan? Where is Ishvara? There's no Bhagavan for them. There's no Bhagavan. No dharma, no pramanam, no Ishvara. Satyam nasti means Veda Shastram nasti. Bhagavan nasti. Dharmaha kutra asti. There's no dharma. There's no such a thing called religious discipline. So they do not accept anything, do not believe in anything. All that they accept in life is only artha and kamaha. Accumulate wealth through any means and enjoy the pleasures by any means. Therefore, the whole life for them is nothing but life is only for accumulating, earning, and enjoying their lives. So, artha kamas are the only purusharthas for them. How long? The whole life. Until the death, for them, artha kamas are the only ends. And this is what all these people of demonic nature who have artha kamas at the ultimate ends, they live their lives. Jagat is anishwaram. What else is there? This is what they say. Do you see something nice about his teaching? Okay, I'm going to stop now. Any questions? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.